What is free content, and can I give you a couple of examples? Yes, I can. As an educator, every time I teach, I give away knowledge freely. So the whole notion of free content is certainly not a new phenomenon. I mean, it's been around since the existence of humankind. So it's not too radical a concept. So that's just to kind of soften the blow of what's going to follow. You'll be familiar with the history of the open education resource movement within the U.S. David Wiley from Utah, you know, in '88 had coined this concept of, you know, open content, and then we had MIT's announcement in 2001. Shortly after that, we saw the institution of the Creative Commons license. In 2002, UNESCO had this great big meeting where they discussed this whole issue, and they've now coined this phrase, open education resources. I personally don't like the concept myself, but this is the big buzzword in higher education at the moment. What is free content? Well, I think if you want to get an understanding of what free content is, you need to go back to the roots of the free software movement. And there are a number of core essential freedoms that define what free software is. And if we can understand what those core freedoms of free software are, and translate this into a content arena, we'll be in a better position to be able to decide what is free content and what isn't. And I mean, Richard makes a very, very important point. Now, Richard Stallman is the father of the GNU free software project, which was really the beginnings of the initiative to develop an entire free software system. And Richard is very adamant about the freedoms that need to underpin a free software. And what is particularly important, and I think this is important for educators, and he argues that you've got to know what freedom is in order to fight for it. Because the risk with freedom is it's very easy to lose. And this is why it's important to have a look at these core foundations of what free content is. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to play you a short snippet of a recent speech by Richard Stallman on this very topic. And if you bear with me for a moment, I should get this started. I should also point out I'm not using any proprietary codecs here. Now, what that means is many of the codecs that you use with your software are closed proprietary codecs, things like the Windows movie WMV files, for example, are closed formats. Whereas the OGG format, the Theora OGG format, is an open format, which you are free to use, copy, distribute, and the like. So let me get this going, and I'm just going to have to do a little switch.
This speech is about
it's not going to work.
Free software movements and the GNU, which are very closely connected.
It's going to be audio.
What is free software? Free software means software that respects the user's freedom. Free software is the exception, and was even more the exception 20 years ago. Most software is proprietary software. That is, most software available for you to get a copy of is proprietary software. Proprietary software keeps the users divided and helpless. They're divided because each user is forbidden to share with anybody else. And they're helpless because none of the users have the source code, so they can't change anything. They can't even verify what it's really doing. So proprietary software is just trust me software. But free software respects the user's freedom. What does that mean? That's a very general statement. Let me make it more specific. Free software means that users have four essential freedoms. That's the definition of free software. And these freedoms are freedom zero, the freedom to run the program as you wish for whatever purpose. Freedom one is the freedom to help yourself. That's the freedom to study the source code of the program and then change it to do what you selfish. Freedom two is the freedom to help your neighbor. That's the freedom to make copies and distribute them to others when you wish. And freedom three is the freedom to help build your community. That's the freedom to distribute or publish modified versions when you wish. With all four of these freedoms, the program is free software. If one of these freedoms is missing, substantially missing, then it is proprietary software. Its development is unethical, and you shouldn't use it. If you want to keep your freedom, you mustn't use it. But why are these four freedoms essential? What makes these four the essential freedoms? Why should we define free software this way? Freedom two is necessary on basic ethical grounds so that you can live an upright life as a good member of your community. If you use a program that does not give you freedom number two, then you are in danger of finding yourself at any moment in a moral dilemma. Whenever your friend says, "That's a nice program, could I have a copy?" At that moment, you will be compelled to choose between two evils. One evil is to give your friend a copy and violate the license of the program. The other evil is to deny your friend a copy and comply with the license of the program. Now, once you're in this situation, you want to choose the lesser of the two evils. The lesser evil is to give your friend a copy and violate the license of the program. Now, what makes this evil lesser? The reason is that we can presume your friend has treated you well and deserves your cooperation. If he hasn't, of course, you can tell him, "I don't want to help you. Start acting like a nice guy. Then I'll help you." So the case that's interesting is the case where this person has cooperated, is a good person, and deserves, in general, your cooperation.
Okay, I mean, clearly Richard can say things like that, I can't. But what I do think is important is to have a look at these core freedoms. The freedom to use the the freedom to help yourself, the freedom to help your neighbor, and the freedom to help build community. And we need to see what the relationship between these freedoms of free software are and free content. And there is already something that is called the free content definition. And what the free content definition does is it attempts to describe what free content is and what the essential freedoms or requirements of free content are. And then it does a mapping to a number of licenses that are available, one of which is the Creative Commons license, but there are other free content licenses as well. And it does a mapping to say, well, here are a bunch of licenses that meet the requirements of the free content definition, and here are a bunch of licenses which don't. So we can have a look at the free content definition. The URL is there, and obviously all this content is available as free content. I'll make sure that you get a copy of it, and you'll be free to distribute it, you'll be free to modify it, you'll be free to adapt it, you'll be free to share it with your friends, and you can use it to build community. The essential freedoms of free content are the following. First off, the freedom to study and apply that information, to examine it, to alter it. Okay. The second freedom is the freedom to redistribute copies of that content. All right. You can sell it, and this is very, very important. The free software movement and the free content movement doesn't place any restrictions on commercial gain from free content. And this is one of our major bugbears as part of the freedom culture, the people that limit commercial activity around free content. We've got a very real problem with that, because we believe that is a material restriction on freedom. You should also have the freedom to distribute modified versions of that content. So if you make a change to a piece of free content, you should be able to redistribute those changes with the original versions as well. There are, however, a number of permissible restrictions. Now, I'm sure you know how copyright law works. Essentially, in most parts of the world, if you create anything, unless there are specific organizational relationships or so forth, but basically how it works is if you create anything, you are automatically the copyright holder of those materials. And in order to do something with those materials, you license usage of those materials under different copyright licenses. Now, what the free software movement did is they took copyright and they turned it upside down. Because when Richard started with the project, the GNU project, he said, how is he going to create free software? Well, he as a programmer held the copyright of the programs he was developing. And then what this was the smart copyleft arrangement. He said, well, if I'm the holder of that, I'm the legal owner of those materials, I can then give that away freely and create a license which forces people to distribute the content or at least the software freely. And that is known as the copyleft license, where there is a requirement to share alike. Now, there are a number of permissible restrictions under the free contents definition, one of which is attribution. It's okay if you require attribution of the content. It would then still meet the requirements of free content. A permissible restriction is the so-called copyleft restriction, which I've just explained. You'll see it as the share-alike option in the Creative Commons license. That's a permissible restriction, because it ensures the future freedoms of the content. Transparent file formats, and this is quite an important issue, and this comes from the GNU free documentation license. You don't have to worry specifically about which license, but the license that Wikipedia uses is the GNU free documentation license. And there is something that's sitting in there around transparent file formats, which basically says is if you create a piece of digital content, it must be created in a way that somebody else can easily edit it. And that's what they mean by transparency. I won't talk about technical restrictions at the moment.